Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This episode is brought to you by Columbia Sportswear. It's snowing again, and that wind chill is killer. But you're not worried about that because you shop the Omni Heat Infinity Collection. It's warmth perfected with tiny gold dots that reflect your body heat inside and protect you from the cold outside. No snow or chilly temps can stop you now. Go out anyway. Shop the Omni Heat Infinity Collection now at Columbia.com/infinity.
The grade cricketer is a Twitter stream. It's about playing cricket at the grade level.
Boys!
Get a few today, did you?
To be honest with you, I hate grade cricket.
I went into to play for a team called the name escaped me.
Obviously, sharing's always a big issue. A big issue for young kids coming into a senior cricket team.
I think it was like a win league.
A bit of advice, a bit of playing, yeah. Sort of one.
I refer to the great cricketer here and I'll say, this will do a little bit early.
Gold, 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 gold for Australia!
Hello, welcome to the Great Cricketer Podcast. On today's show, we're talking England, India. Ben Stokes is out for that entire series. Australia, the weird build-up between the Ashes. Will it happen? Won't it happen? Little secret, it's going to happen. Shane Warne's got COVID. Not sure you've seen that. India, are they good at T20s? I don't know. Probably not. Nick Maddison is in the show. He's in the show. Well, before we get to hashtag RCDC, we're beginning into some areas with Nick. I do hope. I do hope indeed. This episode, as they all are brought to you by Budgie Smuggler. You can use the code CHAMP for free custom design at budgiesmuggler.com. My name is Ian Higgins. Sam Perry is he. Pairs. Gold, gold, gold.
Indeed.
Gold.
Indeed.
What's your thirst level for gold? Have you been quenched? Has your thirst been quenched with gold?
No, it's like Pringles. You know, I fucking like gold begats gold for
yes,
me. Really,
yes, yes.
There's no point where I go. That's enough. Now, the other day,
that's different to gold bigots gold, isn't it?
What's that?
It's just some bigotry stuff,
right? and not to be confused with fool's gold.
Yes,
chasing.
Yes.
Anyway,
that's a Matthew McConaughey movie.
Indeed. Yes. The other day, and this is probably the best part of the Olympics and the experience of
our
country.
Well, I'll be the arbiter.
Yes, well, I'm going to tell you objectively what the best part is.
Hell of a start.
I couldn't keep up with the amount of gold.
Yeah.
I had child responsibilities and whatever.
You did.
I step away from the TV and from the phone for
5 minutes.
For 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The fucking WhatsApp thread's blowing up. More gold. You don't even know what channel to put it onto. Where do I go to just see that colour glinting into my face?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to the Australian Olympic team, especially the aquatic-based ones.
Yes, exactly.
The water-based athletes.
Yes.
For what
and specifically
they provided.
The female-based water athletes.
Indeed. Just yes.
Where are they? They're based in water. The female-based water aquatic athletes.
Nothing better than
water aquatic.
The life aquatic, not to be confused.
So many
sitting
people
on
confused.
The couch with my three-year-old son.
Yeah.
Arm around him. He wants to get off the couch, but I'm gripping him
course,
in close.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're
what you
watch.
Having,
yeah.
Let the boy watch.
I was born in 1985. He's three, so this is the equivalent of this Seoul Olympics that I have no memory of. And yet, I'm gripping him close. He just wants to watch Octonauts. So no.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm trying to appraise my wife of the record that Emma McKeon's going for.
Right.
And then you get into it, it's like, oh, it's 9 medals. She's about to get 10, which actually equal this. And if she goes to 11, then she's going to be on song with the Soviet Union female athlete from 1952. I don't know her name and I don't care. But
Smith,
they had,
I think it
but
was.
But they had fewer events back then. Yeah. It's getting into real winter equinox
real
stuff.
Real winter equinox stuff, yeah.
With the records.
And that was on a Wednesday through to Thursday. And so that was different right. back then because of the tidal situation
exactly.
with the Saturn moon.
Indeed. And also the emerging Cold War. But... But
yes.
trying to put it in context for her going like, you know how like...
Can you put it to me in grade terms?
Well, I had a day out.
Yeah, fucking day out.
I had a day
McKeon
out.
McKeon had a day out, yeah.
You know, like, we grew up thinking that Susie O'Neill and Sam Riley were, mm-hmm. like, the doyens. Mm-hmm. This shits on that, with yeah. respect to them.
Yes.
It's not a very respectful phrase.
Very disrespectful, yeah. with the greatest of respect.
Of respect, now that I've said that.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you've asked me. And yes. And what can I say in return? Because I know you've been...
Haven't actually caught much of it, if I'm honest, yeah, mate. Caught much of it.
You've been feasting on gold.
Mate, I've
and
been.
And you had a big night on Friday night.
Yeah.
Twitter-wise.
Yes. And then so what I had to do is like to drink and tweet.
Don't we all?
And if you're in a couple anything, it's either that or night swimming. Mm. Alcohol and night swimming, the perfect combination, as Lenny once said in The Simpsons. Yeah, mate, I don't know, it fills me with a childlike exuberance that you can't really feel anything else. And like you put this nicely on Twitter, I thought yesterday, is that like this surprise, like this came out of nowhere for me, and that is actually our athletes' problem. It's actually got nothing to do with me and my observations of these events and these sports as a whole. Indeed. This is their problem.
Yeah.
And so when it's a surprise win, it's like, oh, now I feel something. Now I feel patriotic. Now I'm thinking like, oh, that Chinese vessel, the northern tip of Australia, they can get the fuck out of here. We've got McKean in the water.
Yeah. You're starting to put, you know, everyone's like, oh, you walk a little taller. Like I've always
little taller,
like,
chest out a little further.
It's funny, isn't it? Because like people have mentioned that like it has provided the nation, mm-hmm. many of which are in lockdown,
man.
With a morale boost.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure studies have been done on this.
Yeah.
Does that translate to GDP somehow? Or does it just feel
somehow.
Good and you can just WhatsApp some shit?
Somehow.
Yeah. Maybe it does.
I think these booster vaccines are actually mostly morale.
And good for internet reception.
That's right. That's right. We're running on 5G.
Hey, I got vaccinated the other day.
How you feeling?
I got my first jab. I had chills for like 1 or 2 days, but it was fine.
Didn't multiply.
You could say they were multiplying, mm-hmm. but I was not losing control.
What's this show again?
I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, gold is obviously, it knocks you off your equilibrium.
100%.
And it's been good to get them.
Okay, so in the meantime, some other stuff's been going on.
Yeah.
No more important than this. Now, I'm going to have to put up this image. I think a lot of people would have already seen this image, but I'll put it up on YouTube. There's a guy whose wife is giving birth in a hospital, and he's wearing his... I'm going to have to zoom in.
Can I rephrase? There's a woman giving birth in a hospital, and there's a guy.
Wait, what did I just say?
Well, it's like there's a guy whose wife is giving birth, as though like she's the second part of this.
Sorry, right? Yeah, I didn't phrase that correctly.
No. It's like, but it is funny. Like, he really has made it.
He really has
he
made
really
a lot
has
about him.
Made it about.
Yeah. So, of the many messages we received, I just read one from Josh Laurie, who's on Patreon. He says, "I'm unlikely to be the only one to tag you in this." But here's the first 45 minutes of your next pod sorted.
Okay, well,
you're welcome. Yeah, well, okay, just be careful. More levels to explore than Burj Khalifa. Going from strength to strength, lately, boys, love it. Cheers, JL, not Langer. That's very kind of you. Thanks, Josh. So then do you want to describe...
The scene?
Describe the scene for me, please, Sam.
I think a lot of people will have seen this, but there's a woman giving birth in what appears to be a very like a standard hospital
a sanitary
ward.
Situation. Yeah,
she's actually in the standard birthing position as well. It doesn't always work like that. I'll give you the tip, but didn't expect to say that. That's come straight in my head.
Okay.
Also, now that I look at it again, like there's far less carnage than what I. Anyway. Now that I look at it,
yeah.
It's very
now,
clean.
Let's deep dive it, yeah. Yeah, what's this? Is this set up post?
Might be a set up anyway. Anyway, there's a woman about to give birth.
Yes.
There don't appear to be any doctors or midwives in the room either.
Yeah. There's a photographer.
This is a fake.
This is a
and
deep fake.
And there's a man waiting to, would appear to be, receive the child.
Yeah.
And he is clad in what appears to be a, wicket-keeping gear. Sorry, I can't speak because this is an insane picture. But he's got a helmet on. He's got his club kit on.
Shirt.
It looks like a one-day shirt. So what colour is that?
Pants.
What colour is that? He goes,
it's,
I'm colourblind.
It's yellow.
So yellow? Yeah,
it's yellow.
Okay. And
not canary yellow, it's yellow.
Right. Okay, yellow. And
think like 2000s Etnies skateboarding brand, yellow.
It's got grey nickels, white trousers, and they're white, so not creams.
Yes.
And are they keeping pads?
Yes,
I think
they are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
And some white keeping gloves.
Yeah.
He's in the wicketkeeper's pose.
Yeah.
Slightly crouched over.
Yeah.
Probably could get a little
sort of crouching tiger hidden figure situation.
Hands together, palms facing down.
Downward palms, yes.
And And then in a series of shots, you can see him receiving the child.
Yes.
The child is actually completely clean, so
yeah, this
just
is,
looking at the, this the child's being this is a deep fake now that I see this. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's just like the kid's probably 3 years old at this point.
It actually gives me some comfort that this is the case. Well, yeah. But anyway.
But she's subscribed to this idea. Well, she
Of course, and good luck to them. But this is he's receiving the birth of a child in wicker-keeping gear. That's
and then
pretty
holds
much it.
And the
then
kid holds up like Simba.
Yes.
At Pride Rock.
Indeed. and so can I just add to this as well? He goes,
please add to it.
We received Brody Price is the man.
Oh, okay.
In question,
because we've had some DMs and we had
a lot of, and Brody won't know this, but many of his club mates anonymously DM'd to provide some, and did so without us asking it.
No,
and let us know that that he'd been doing a lot of media around this as well. Because my first thought was like, well, let's just get this guy on the show. To kick off. But he's doing all this other media. He was on Sunrise and shit. So
was he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I do have an anonymous message. So we can
this will be good.
So we can add some knowledge to this, I suppose. Boys.
Of course.
Yeah. Brody Price. Had a kid, did ya? For my sake, even though I'm pretty sure no one else at my club listens to this, all right, please keep this anonymous. I'm aware you've seen the photos of my fellow clubman Brody at the birth of his recent child dressed as a wicketkeeper. A few things about Brody. He's definitely a bigger AFL fan than he is cricket fan. A few of us are of the opinion that this was a play at him getting a game at the start of the season after we've recruited two keepers over the off-season. We played a two-grade competition and Brody's spot might be up for grabs. The worst part is that he went out and bought the keeping gear for the shoot because he's the third-choice keeper at a two-team club and had no use for owning a set of gloves. We already have a designated cricket Nuffy at the club, so he can't claim that title, so we're pretty sure this is an attempt to earn his spot through social media exposure, which is out of control at the moment. He's been hammering the club WhatsApp with screenshots of various pages sharing his photos, including all the regional ABC Facebook pages, and a comment for Ian Healy. Should our captain drop him for round one or select him, but not as a keeper, and let him cop a barrage of verbals from the opposition and definitely his teammates. So that was anonymous.
Right.
Can I just say...
That's from Brody's wife.
He goes, before anything, congratulations.
Yes.
To Brody and
that
his...
That must be said.
To Brody and his wife.
Yes.
They've had a child and...
They've had a child.
And Brody, these kind of... You're not going to have the energy for these kind of high jinks from now. Okay?
Yeah,
I'll give you the tip.
Yeah. Enjoy your last laugh.
Exactly. Sort of dressing up and getting shit. Your back's going to hurt. You already look like you've got lower back issues anyway.
Yeah.
They're going to get worse. You're not going to be bothered to go and get those clothes, put them on, all that sort of stuff. So good luck to you enjoying this kind of stuff.
Yeah. He's wearing a lid as well. That should be. I'm not sure what kind of projectile situation he was expecting, but.
It could be like a dream sequence as well. It could be a metaphor because you do have to put a helmet on in many ways.
Trenches.
There's a lot coming at you now, Brody.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. There's a lot coming at you now. Mm-hmm. Not just in the real world as well, mentally. So there's a lot you got to deal with. So congratulations on that. Should he be dropped? Does he have time for cricket?
Not entirely sure he should be selected, if I can answer it like that. Can I?
Yeah. On what basis?
Well, you can't be rewarding this sort of shit. Like, you're playing, okay, you're playing in a team, you, Sam Perry, are playing in a team.
Great.
And
I'm back.
How are we going? I'm back, baby. Where am I batting? You got a teammate. He's doing this. He's seeing this on Facebook. It's a Wednesday morning. You're logging on at work, at your job, in your little cubicle there. First question, why aren't you in quarantine?
Yeah.
Why aren't you isolating?
Where are your pants?
Saw a headline the other day. Guy was like, it was from the UK. I'm sure many other people have seen this because it went around like on WhatsApp with about 15,000 different links to it. But it was like a guy, I think it was in the UK. He said, I got sent home from work because I was caught masturbating in the office because I thought it was at home.
Oh, yeah. Nothing better than
they were all busy.
Those British Twitter accounts of just like messed up headlines.
Yeah. But yes, okay. So you're at your desk job.
Yeah.
You log on. You see Brody on Facebook here. Oh, he said he's him and the missus get great work. Oh, it's so exciting. What's this? Yeah. What am I looking at here?
What?
And then on the weekend you're like, oh yeah, Brody's batting three and you're five this week, mate.
Good point.
Am I? Or am I moving clubs again?
And I'm cities? Batting below that.
Yeah. Exactly. Mate, I'm actually more shocked that Sunrise have picked that up. Like, I understand on this fucking shit that we do, but Jesus.
Why do, like, you and I and this guy's written into us, like, mm-hmm. lead with a tone of just condemnation of this. I mean, it's just...
Well, are you saying it's beautiful?
I'm not saying it's beautiful, but it's like it is very grade cricket. It's like this guy's just done this thing for a bit of a laugh and sending it around for some media, and we're like, fucking drop him. He's out of the club. Can't believe I'm batting beneath this guy. Yeah, you know, she's had a baby.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't think he's going to be playing much cricket in the future.
Right, okay. Well, hell of a way to go out. Mm. Hell of a way to go out. Now, of course, now let's just get straight into it, Pez. Okay. England, India.
Okay, yeah, into it.
England, India.
Starts Wednesday.
Yeah, you know. I don't like it when test matches start Wednesday. It feels weird to me.
Mate, don't you think the build-up has felt weird? As in, there's been none because there's so much cricket.
There's so much
COVID. So much shit going on. There's the Olympics. There's COVID. Yeah. Everything's getting silly. We'll get into that. But, this is a fucking big series.
This is a big series,
Let's not forget.
Especially in the context of what happened 3 months ago.
I was going to say, I don't think anyone's really talking about this. Like, in the sense that, like this is the square-up series.
Yeah, this is the square-up.
This is a square-up series.
You're going to make it spin, are you?
For the fucking spitting cobra dust mounds of Ahmedabad. that were an affront to cricket. Well, it wasn't even cricket.
I was affronted.
And frankly, it was an affront to basic notions of civility.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and so, will England, despite all these injuries, we're going to talk about them, and people missing for good reason, you know, will they make the decks wet? Not to be confused with the band wet. Love is all around.
Love is all around.
You know, I want this series to be Seamus, Jukes, movement, nibbles, subtlety, not drinks and nibbles, clouds, greenery, the crown, the queen.
Yes.
Prince Philip played first class cricket or some shit. R.I.P. I suppose.
Big front.
Like I think he got a game in the '50s or something.
I fucking bet he got a game.
Yeah. Well, he got a crown. I can see. Yeah. You know, like RIP, I guess. You know, this is a square up series, and it needs an accompanying level of build up to which there's been none.
Been none.
Someone's got to say something.
I reckon this is maybe one of the last hurrahs for Broad and Anderson, and I want it symbiotic. I want it overcast. I want tosses, which raise some eyebrows straight away. But and then some side mouth stuff. Went good luck.
Yeah,
and then I want
Craig's going.
Rohit Sharma playing leg side, and he's missed it outside off by about a foot and a half. And then him being like, "What the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Yep.
Can a spinner play, please? No, that's cheating when it spins too much. Exactly. We know that. We know that now. We learned that this year. When it spins too much, that's cheating.
I want equally extreme wickets, but according to English stereotypes.
That's right. Who set the laws of the game? They govern.
And when they
the
do
laws.
It,
yeah,
that's fine.
That's right.
Because that's within the laws.
We can do whatever we want.
Of the game.
As long as we do it. And we'll get to the Ashes in a moment.
I don't just want Duke's balls. I want deep red
balls. Like it's a maroon.
Yeah.
It's a maroon and it's a facade.
Yes.
Somehow, I don't know.
I actually want Sky Sports to put a filter on the screen so that it's more overcast.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like it usually in the first test match of like an English summer. Now it's obviously so much later in their summer than usual, but like I like the verdant greens that you see in the outfield, like first
contrast.
Day, first test.
Yeah.
And that maroon ball fucking going around corners. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be interesting because this is actually a really big series in that like it's two, England obviously sensational at home, India, the rising superpower, if they are not already there, they are very close to it. If they win this series away from home, that's a huge marker down for fucking being just the best team in all formats. And then with the World Cup coming, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, like, the clutter of white ball cricket just subsiding for a bit. Like, I know this shit's going on in the 100 or whatever.
I need my test.
But, like, I just want it to go away. I just want some shit in white clothes for a while. Same. And just I want to immerse in one contest between two squads with the verdant green and the filters that you're talking about.
Because I was watching the 100 game, which happened 2 days ago. Was it the London Spirit and Southern Brave? And it was like, oh, because like, this whole thing about the 100 and just the people in the crowd, young people in the crowd, and it's like, oh, but it's like shiny lids now and it's white balls. And that's all good. That serves a purpose in my life, don't get me wrong, but I fucking need my test matches.
Yeah, that's wash over you shit. Yeah, it's wash over you shit. Oh, yeah. I know that name. Oh, I've got to
go. A bit of body wash.
Exactly.
A bit of mint green on it.
That's right. Oh, that smells nice.
Oh, lavender. Great.
Phone's ringing.
Who is it? Dad?
No. Starts at Trent Bridge on Wednesday.
Yeah, it does.
So he goes, So Ben Stokes is out?
Yeah, he's out. For the summer.
For the summer?
Yeah.
He.
That's a big, just in the context of the series, which is not the most important thing in this context, though, in the context of the series, that's enormous because we know how good a player he is and also what he does for the rest of that team.
Yeah.
One player knits and binds that team together so strongly that in terms of like linking, he makes everyone else better.
He's taken a break to prioritise his mental well-being and to rest his left index finger, which is not fully healed since his return to competitive cricket earlier this month. He's replaced by Craig Overton. He goes, I think we'll talk about the impact of Stokes on the series in a second, but this bloke's been like, he's been in and out of bubbles for 16 months.
Yep.
Rajasthan, England Test, ODI, T20 squads, Durham in the T20 Blast, Northern Superchargers. He stepped into the England threes the other day when they all got COVID or whatever.
His finger was cooked as well.
Yeah. His old man passed away last year, getting brain cancer in the final year of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll go back to Harmison on the show a few weeks ago saying that, like, he wasn't a nuffy for cricket. He was just good at it. And, like, I've got no idea where Stokes is on this spectrum.
Yeah.
Not that it really matters. But, it doesn't matter how much you love the game. Like, a lot of these players are in, like, you know, lab rat, sterile, relentless hotel wall environments away from family and friends. Mm-hmm. And it's got to do serious damage. And, like, to me, and so all the best to Ben Stokes, great.
100%.
And I think the ECB have been like that as well, prioritising mental well-being. I hope he recovers. To me, it puts further spotlight on, like, the brutality of fulfilling sporting content and contractual obligations during this pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, over here in Australia, Brisbane, a lot of people know that a lot of Australia is in lockdown now because our vaccination rates are shithouse, and we'll get onto that, but, like, Brisbane went into lockdown, snap lockdown. That's where all the sport's being played at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can cue images of, like, AFL and NRL players milling in airports on Saturday because their games have been cancelled, flying to whatever corner of Australia remains available to play a game in because their character's in a TV show and they're legally required to do the TV show.
You know,
it's like...
Yeah.
It's,
we've got you for 22 episodes.
Mate, like, it's there's so much content that top-level players of all sports like have to keep up with now. They're stretched. Everyone's agreeing to everything because the revenues just have to be taken when they're there. But, like, and to be gobbled up. But, the players are at the top end, multi-format or whatever. Like, they can't be expected to keep up. I'm not saying everyone's going to experience mental health issues in relation to it, but it can't be we can't be surprised.
Mate, there's absolutely no coincidence how many people who are having they're pulling out of certain tournaments at different times with the same degree of anxiety that they're experiencing. I'm not sure what Ben's issue actually is, but but people all over the world in all these different sports, but just stick with cricket for a moment. You've even seen with, like, I know, for instance, during the end of last summer, heading into this West Indies series, like Aaron Finch, I think has spoken about how much he really struggled with the lockdown environment, being away from families and stuff. All these guys who are of an age where they've got young families often, being away from home is one thing, but then being locked in the confines of a hotel room, it's very different also to even being at home isolating as well. That away from families, the anxiety they would already experience with the exposure of playing professional sport, the scrutiny they experience, and it's like, and now everyone is also at home watching them play their sports, and it's like they want, because a lot of people have said, as a consumer, sport has been a thing that's got me through having to do my own isolation or being away from my friends and family at the same time. And so almost the anxiety as a viewer increases because I want my team to win so bad because I need this so much because I'm going through my own thing at the same time, right? And now you're like putting this onto the players as well who are doing their own thing. It's this really unhealthy, toxic environment. And there's no doubt that England's schedule over the past 18 months really, but especially in the last 12 months with how many test matches they're playing, the start of the 100, the World Cup, all this stuff. It's insane, that calendar. Mm. And like as it goes on, you understand why they have had to rotate their squad so much through that India series, through the New Zealand series, in India series. And then we're trying to leading into the Ashes, talking about, well, some of these guys are going to be away from home for 4 months and their families might not be able to be out here. Yeah, so it's like, where does, though professional cricket is my job, it's my life, it is my income, where does it actually fit into my life in relation to all these other things? How much do I actually need this, you know?
Totally, yeah. Interesting, Piers Morgan was able to get into Simone Biles, but didn't seem to apply to Ben Stokes.
Ah, that's interesting.
Can't quite work out what that's about.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm not really sure how England cricket team works without Ben Stokes.
Yeah, same.
Like, he's two players.
Yeah.
And probably the best in the world.
Yeah.
So, is it Butler 6, Curran 7?
Well,
does Dan Lawrence just come in for him?
Well,
Wokes is injured. He's got a bruised heel.
Injured, okay.
So, and then beyond that, Ollie Pope's to
injured.
Miss.
Yeah.
With a thigh injury per Wisden. Or should we say a grade 3 quadriceps tear?
That's what you should say.
That's the Winnie the Pooh.
He hasn't played a first class game since the second test against New Zealand back in early.
Which was only last week. So.
Yeah, that was. So I mean that leaves a door for Haseeb Hamid, I suppose, as the spare batter.
Right. I think there's good. There's a lot of people are hoping he ends up becoming one of the openers as well.
Yeah.
So no Stokes, no Wokes, no Archer. Mm. Ollie Stone's out for the season.
Yeah.
I think
stressies.
Stressies. Badge of honour means you bowl quick.
Yeah.
You should be happy.
You should be happy with that. Yeah. Result. Stressies. Result.
But, you know, wet wickets. Wet wickets and square ups. Bit of nibble. Drinks and nibbles.
There's also, James Anderson is turning 53 later this year.
Yeah.
And all this time
still looks
in
quick in those net videos, though.
He's bowling quicker, apparently. Mm. All this time in and out of lockdown, I'm just saying, for bowlers, remember we were talking to Nokia, he was like, I can't bowl 160 or 150 at the moment because I'm just in and out of lockdown all the time. I'm spending so much time in hotels, I just can't bowl that quick. I just wonder, with Anderson, he played one test match in 2019, by one spell and then was out for the entire series. Just at that age, you can be fragile. If they go down a bowler again, I don't know. I think India, the door's open here for India and how much they want it. Of course, they've got their own thing going on. Shubman Gill is obviously going to be replaced by, I think, Agarwal. He's got some shin splints.
Yep.
Less of a badge of honour. You got shinies.
Yeah, you got shins there. It's a bit of long distance running. Growing pains.
and someone else.
But Prithvi Shaw won't come in. They'll give it to Agarwal first.
I think it's Agarwal. I think he's same.
I want it so bad.
And Rahane might not be fit. Some talk about that because he missed the warm up game. I think he's got a hamstring.
He's got a string. Will India be chastened by picking two spinners against New Zealand? Do you think they'll if it's wet, not to be confused with a band? But
yeah,
it's going to go Quicks plus Ashwin.
A lot of the time when because they just want to pick their best players,
yeah.
And they go less horses, don't they?
Less horses.
They go less horses, India, because they want to play Ashwin. They'll play Jadeja, whose record is obviously incredible, though. You got to get Siraj in that team, I reckon.
Yeah.
Just as an Australian who's seen what he has done since he's played for India into that Test side since Australia.
Mm.
I think he's just got to get him into the team. And then Ben, who do you drop? Ashwin. Ashwin is an interesting one because he's sort of come. He had such a great tour as well away from home. And you're like, well, he's the veteran. He's got 400 Test wickets. Do you drop Ashwin? Fuck, I don't know. He's scoring runs as well down the order.
Would Ashwin
India.
Let you drop him?
He wouldn't let you drop him. He'd still play, but he's playing with 12, and that's illegal.
And he could do huge damage through his YouTube channel as well.
That's a good point. You got to think about that. But then, what are you talking there? Dropping Jadeja, who's averaging 50 with a bat the last couple of years, and
you got fruit picker up in the stands as well. Who's got an absolute stranglehold over your Bairstow? I presume would come in for Pope. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably why. Bairstow's probably ahead of us even made. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So, yeah, they've got a few choices there.
A couple of options.
I think that
I'm excited.
I'm excited.
I'm excited for England to see how good India are. Because I think there's I get the sense that the rest of the world, especially after the World Test Championship final, are a bit India aren't, they're still a bit almost there. And I'm just from our experience, having watched what happened last summer and then following the IPL properly, looking at the depth of the ODI squad, their second string team in Sri Lanka has obviously got pumped in the strings in the T20 series, but they won the ODIs. And just they're fucking here to play India. They're good. I'm actually excited for India to exhibit how good they are, because I don't think England know how good they can be just yet.
I know what you mean, though.
And England have a lot to prove.
I'm excited to see whether English conditions can expose India's dominance, because there are guys who are on their way up to superstardom, if not already there, Rishabh. I know Gill's not playing and stuff. But even
Bumrah, because Bumrah's record in England is not good.
That's what I mean.
And Shami's
England,
well.
England conditions ask more questions of you. I mean, last time India were out there, they lost 4-1, but it was on the knife edge. Yeah. There was a century from Moeen Ali changed the series.
Yeah, that's right.
Wokes did some shit. Stokes did some shit.
Yeah.
None of those three are there.
Yeah.
So I think India will be hardened and ready, particularly given their last, like what they did in their last outing. And I think that they are on a path to ascendancy in Test cricket, and they are probably already there. But this is another one. This is a big building block for them, having sort of, they've done Australia, now they've got this.
Yeah.
But like, English conditions, particularly if there's some juice, it's just a completely, it's a very testing environment.
It's hard. It's hard,
as we saw in the Test Championship final with New Zealand. I mean, England at their with a better side than what they had before, they can play some good cricket. If Broad and Anderson are on, it's not fucking easy scoring runs. Hey. So can it, you know, for me, I want to see how good India are as well.
Yeah, sure,
because
because
England have players to test you out at that level. Yeah,
for sure. You look at even the 2019 Ashes series where I sort of view that series as like Australia fucking pumped England in most of that series.
Yes.
And it was 2-2.
Yeah.
Steve Smith has had one of the greatest away series ever in the history of the game. Australia's bowled, performed beautifully. 2-2.
Yeah.
They not, so mate, hard to win.
Man, England, like England cricket team, as most teams do it at home, like at home level.
Yeah.
As you were saying, like Australia could dominate 75% of that series, but it's like England know the back streets of their own grounds. Mm-hmm. Like they know how to engineer themselves into positions. Mm. Like you might bowl, you might sort of, they might, you might score some runs in the first innings, and then all, like their openers are all of a sudden on fucking 40 or 50 or something. Maybe not.
Scrunting them through.
They actually haven't done that. But like they know how to like leave balls that are really close to off stump. They've got a lot of advantages and a lot of know-how of how to engineer their way through matches.
Mm.
How to scrunt wickets later on in the later on in the day for a little bit of movement or whatever, crowd get into it. I think it's set up to, it could be a really, really good series.
Yeah.
And there's some very good matchups. I mean, still, like, you can't go past just like Anderson to Kohli first day with it doing a bit. That's gonna be some good.
Probably
gear.
The last time we'll see that matchup.
Yeah.
Can't think of the next time they play each other.
Well, Anderson says his career's just getting started.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right, okay. Yeah,
Kohli's around the corner, is there, okay.
Anything else on that series?
No, looking forward to it. We're doing our dailies. We'll put that audio up on Patreon as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that starts on Wednesday, the YouTube dailies, and then the audio on patreon.com/greatcricketer. If that's how you want to do it, I think this series will actually just be about just showing how good New Zealand are. Although it would have been good if India did win the World Test Championship final, then Kohli would have walked out to all tosses holding the big lollipop.
As is his want.
As is his want. Australia, Pez.
Yes.
Weird build-up just in the press. Is there anything to even talk about there? Just about how, like, there's a bit of chat about fucking England having a sook because their families can't come out here and think about all the things we've ever done for you. Last year we played this ODI series. What about the Rugby League World Cup? Some other gear going on.
Two levels. So, like, for background, story broke on the BBC last week, I think, that you know, there's gonna be some representations from the England players, like cricket players union, PCB, I think, PCA, God, about them bringing their families, because at the moment under the current Australian border conditions, it's not permissible.
Yeah,
and normally these things are done through diplomatic channels behind closed doors. It was about to happen, and I'd imagine that all the stakeholders involved, CA, ECB, players, and the Australian government will probably want to get it done, and we'll get it done.
Yeah.
But it is sensitive. And then running parallel to that or adjacent to that is then this like lame-ass media build-up around it, where there's this kind of stereotypical exchange of you know, high-handed Englishness that Australians hate, and then Aussies being fucking psycho about borders, which we are, which is dreadful, you know. Like, this whole issue about England players bringing their families and stuff is born of an appalling governmental situation here where, like, there are Aussies who can't get home from overseas.
Unless you've got an investor visa.
If we were able just to bring people into the country and put them in a quarantine situation that wasn't fucking leaky hotels with fucking shit flying everywhere, and that the federal government sorted that out, and we weren't psychos about borders, this wouldn't be a problem.
Or just get a fucking jab. Can we get one? Get a jab?
You know, what the federal government's done with people like stuck overseas, I think is dreadful. You know, you're from a country, you want to come home, and you can't. And that's part of the sensitivity here, because they don't want to look like There's some, you know, everyone's equal, but some are more equal than others. Yeah, so the England players get their families in, but what about if I'm an Aussie and I can't get home? You know, like that's fair enough. Mm-hmm. The government could actually sort both out, I think.
Unless you're going to work on Big Brother as well, and you got some racist views you want to share.
Or you could get paid, say your racist shit, then go home as well. I don't know.
What's her name again? Name's escaped me.
Fuck her name. But yeah, you got this like public lobbying from Michael Vaughan, who's made, I think it's a pretty reasonable point. Like England players bring their families because they've been fucking away for like
because they're going like straight from the World
T20.
World T20.
Yeah.
And then some guys will be in the IPL before then into the World T20 into 4 months in Australia where the crowds here are lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And then like you've got this sort of response from a couple of writers here, like Malcolm Conn. Pretty funny. But it just looks like phony, you know, just saying, oh, high-handed Englishness and whatever. But like, it just looks like phony Ashes build up. Oh, the Ashes might not be on. It's going to be on. But I still clicked on the story. So who's the real loser?
That's right.
And I got exposed to a few ads and I bought some products.
Yeah, you got to click on the links there and you got taken down some dark holes there.
Yeah, exactly. One weird trick.
Yeah, mate. I know it is sensitive, especially with this new thing, with this novel coronavirus that's been going around.
Yeah, SARS-CoV-2.
Just been going around a bit at the moment.
Just the flu.
But yeah, mate, I just can't escape that it'll get sorted. It'll just get sorted.
The virus or?
The virus won't get sorted. Mm.
Yeah, it gets sorted. You know how that like...
Like the families will be here. They'll play.
Yeah.
They won't just be happy about it, but they'll play.
Trust the diplomatic channels. Like in the past, this would just be like, you know, blokes in suits, and they are blokes in suits, and briefing documents, sitting down, thrashing it over a meeting, then retiring to Lee's Fortuna Court Crow's Nest. Yeah. This time in smart casual gear, they've retired back to their hotels, smart casual gear, go to Lee's Fortuna Court.
A little rub and tug.
Have some, that's later.
Yeah.
Sit down, have some lovely Chinese, brought to you by Stanley, who owns Lee's Fortuna Court. He's very charming. He's your Chinese mate, Stanley. Go to the Crowy afterwards, have a couple of drinks. Stewie McGill's restaurant's around the corner.
It used to be.
Is Stewie doing anything?
Yeah.
This is in the past. Stewie doing anything? Right, oh, yeah, right, okay. Right, yeah. And then the night kicks off and everybody does what they need to do after that. Yep. That's how these things get sorted out. Now it's all on Zoom.
Yeah, now it's all Zoom. It's all, cleansed.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Now you got... I can understand why a lot of these guys in these jobs don't know how to sort these things out anymore. Because unless you've got Lee's Fortuna Court.
Yeah. If you can't broker a deal over a fortune cookie, then what hope have we got? And I've always said that.
I actually went to Lee's Fortuna Court. Or a rub and tug. On my Bucks party.
Here we go. Yeah. You broke some deals over a hand.
We'd only just met, hadn't we?
Hand job in a curtain room.
No, well, I went to Lee's Fortuna Court.
Little silk robe under there.
It'd been a... I was about to say something. we'd been out for a few hours and we went to Lee's Fortuna Court.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like eating at that point and no one else did either.
Ah, that's weird.
Yeah. Oh, couldn't have another bite.
Lost my appetite completely.
Couldn't have another bite. Anyway. what's next?
Let's talk about something else.
Trevor Hones?
Yeah, Trevor Hones, mate.
Dan Brady broke this story. Dan Brady's at the age now. Congrats to Dan.
What are we talking about?
Trevor Hones has been chairman of selectors or involved in the selectoral
since
apparatus.
Since the mid-50s, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 16 years from 1995 through to 2021.
Hell of a run.
There was a gap. There was a break in the middle, which is when all the Kadich shit happened. So he doesn't have to, like, if he was there for the Kadich Clark shit, well, he wouldn't still be there.
Mate, that was some good gear.
Andrew Hilditch, who was involved in the selections at the time, possibly chairman of selectors, one of the stories that came out with Hones retiring here is that, like, he got jostled at, like, the Adelaide Oval.
Jostled
by fans after the Clark Kadich thing.
No way.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a good jostling in ages.
You get a melee.
You get a melee.
Jostling.
A little scuffle.
Yeah.
Well, back and forth.
I'm just thinking about like the experience.
Well, will they, won't they? Ah, it's back to the rub and tug.
Back to the rub and tug. Nothing better than a will they, won't they massage. Said others. It's like a pilot ad.
Just 60 minutes of anxiety. Will they? Won't they? I don't.
People tell me.
Couldn't have another bite.
Mate, I'm stuffed. I'm absolutely spent here. being a Trevor Hones, who played four tests, I believe, for Australia, he'll be more known for being a selector, I'd imagine. Being a selector for that long. Like, you're like a silent human pinata.
Oh, mate.
Like, because, you know, he... A selector more than anything else. Like not only do they select the team, but they become the vehicle to foist your anger upon if you don't get what you want.
Of course,
right?
Yes,
screaming into the internet or wherever.
Yes,
or
they are
own,
the messenger.
Or your own pillow at the end of the night. But he was there when he backed Mark Taylor when Mark Taylor couldn't hit one off the square for about 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. Got him a game.
Yep. He dropped Ian Healy for Gilchrist.
Yeah.
Good decision, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
A couple years too late.
Although Healy did ask if he could play one more summer.
That's right.
And they said no. And he said, what about one more game? And they said no.
Hones, or Cracker, I should call him Cracker. Cracker recommended Warne for the captaincy.
Okay.
With the selection, with selectors. And then that was overturned by the ACB directors. Steve Ward had something to say about that, I'd imagine. He goes, what makes a great selector? And I want to go even further.
Yeah.
Because there was a great picture of Hones with this, with Brady's article. He's talking to David Warner.
Right.
Warner's like looking straight ahead, like with his arms outstretched.
Perfect.
And Hones has got like massive glasses on. Let's call them aviators now.
Let's call them.
Looking over Warner's shoulder or away from Warner towards what seems to be cricket nets with his arms folded.
Excellent.
This is like, well, this guy's.
That's the power stance.
That's better than an AB de Villiers late block when it comes to posture and pose.
Yep, 100%.
Right? And technique.
That's right.
I want to ask you about something I know nothing about. He
Far
goes,
away.
Here's something in the grade cricket diaspora that I never experienced.
Right.
A selection meeting. I was never a captain.
Oh, okay, right.
So I never saw what a selection meeting looked like. All I ever saw was Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
The captain's retiring just before the end of training.
To Lee's Fortuna Court.
To Lee's Fortuna Court. I just saw blokes retiring into a... I presume that's where you guys went afterwards.
You go to a curtained room at the back and you come out looking very relaxed.
Why are they curtains? It's not a private room. Just blokes retiring. I saw blokes retiring into a clubhouse. He goes, and I always imagine it's like, you know, the United Nations General Assembly. You know, he's sitting around, microphones, you've got earpieces for translators.
Yeah.
And, you know, there'd be a big rough and tumble over, like, who was picked where.
Bit of a jostle.
You were, say, captaining threes.
Right.
Or twos. How much weight did you have politically to, like, get guys into the team?
Yeah.
Or if someone said, I think, you know, if threes said, like, I think he's ready for twos.
So it was just a big alpha power play, mate, the entire thing, because one of the big frustrations you get as a player is that, like, you feel that someone gets picked ahead of you based on feel or, like, they're being prioritised ahead of you just because they're younger, better looking, bigger penis than you. Those are always the three factors that you
have to assess. Of course. Goes without saying.
I'm actually embarrassed that I had to even say that.
Yeah. It's for the uninitiated.
That's right.
Younger, better looking, and bigger penis than you.
This is actually an induction episode to The Great Cricketer, episode 163.
Speaking of, Rowan Browning, Jesus.
Hey, anyway, a salad on that.
And just everything.
Oh, just everything.
He's everything.
Absolute rip. Yeah.
Blue blood, private school stuff, though, I suppose.
100%.
Quick.
Hey, quick. But then I basically just had, like, you looked at someone, you'd be like, oh, I've got a feeling about them based on their penis size.
Yeah.
No, but no, you have a look at them in the nets or you like them in your team because they fit in well to your team or whatever. Mm. And then there's other guys. Then there's basically like who played more first grade games in the selection panel would then have a saying, or who's putting more money into the club, who'll then say, no, he'll play second grade next week because his mum's actually quite attractive. So
Did you spend much time? I understand. It's never about the results.
It's never about the results.
Do you ever spend much time like defending a player being in the team, like rather than like them getting drops? Like, I'd like to hang.
You need to be careful with that stuff because you need to read the room in terms of what their social capital is as well. It's a whole fucking dance you got to do, man. Because so like if I really like someone on the team and I like them as a bloke, well, they're going to get picked. Mm. Like you are going to get picked as a good bloke. Mm. That is a factor.
True. And younger, bigger penis.
Yeah. Of course, because that's home. So. But you need to be. But if someone's like really anti, like, mate, he's averaged three for the last seven seasons. He hasn't played subs, and I'm like, well, that's not really my issue. But then you need to read the room, and be like, well, can I trade this person with this other person who might give me better results because I want to play finals because that'll make me feel something as the captain, therefore make me look good.
And then with that done, given you've played a role as a selector,
right?
And this is in homage to Trevor Cracker Hons,
yes,
as I've heard some people say Hons,
right?
Retiring. How did you deliver news of a player's, let's cut to the chase, axing?
The thing that I found hardest was dealing with, like, because I was...
That was your style, though.
Phone call.
Not like take him aside at training or something and, like, put an arm around him. Listen, look, we've decided.
No, I would be much better now because I'm just older than what I was then somehow, as time works.
Definitely are older.
But But yeah, just dealing with like a whole bunch of emotions, which you all feel as players, we're dealing with things like people complaining about being dropped. And like fundamentally, whilst I just said this, all this like other bullshit dance that goes on, which does genuinely play a factor in club cricket.
Oh, yeah.
But fundamentally, if you've scored enough runs, you're never going to get dropped.
Yeah.
If you've taken enough wickets, whatever.
Mm. So what did you say? So like, could we do it? Like, call me up.
Yep.
I've got my phone here.
Yep.
You're calling? It's calling? As in, like,
I'll give you one ring. If you haven't picked up, that's your problem now.
All right. Yeah, g'day.
You just see the name. just check the team sheet the next day.
Hey, Missy. Oh, we're laughing. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've mates.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Sam. Mate, team's coming out this week. Mate, bad news.
I like it. Bad news. Yeah. Fuck.
Bad news. I'm sure you saw this coming.
Yeah. Damo can't play.
Based on your results. But yeah. I'm going to need a lift. Sort of. Couple of beers playing on Friday night, and I'll leave the car at home.
You fucking morphed into Nugsy. I'm actually really awkward right now, and I don't know how to be myself.
That's right. But then it's like, delivering of the news itself is fine. It's like what your reaction's going to be. It's like, because then it can go one of three ways, really. Mm. It was like massive blow ups.
You got that?
Real sad. Or,
real sad.
Or just kind of like going through the seven stages of grief and just basically acceptance coming towards that and being like, yeah, I understand. But then you can feel emotions underneath all of that at the same time. Mm. But blow-ups never really, because at my club I had enough social capital where I think it was like, you know, just, you know, shoot for the king.
You say, like, would you say like bad news? Like just, look, we need you to go back a grade or whatever.
Are you going
to
be
gun school runs?
You're going to be fours this week. It's a good team there. I heard. I don't know any of the guys' names.
Yeah, I've never played that grade before. I don't know what time it starts.
Yeah, I've actually never heard the ground that you're playing at either. So don't ask me for directions. And actually, if you could do me a favour and actually delete my number, because I think you and I both know that this is over. This is done. You had your one chance. Sure, you batted seven, didn't bat, but you dropped a catch and... I didn't see you in the showers afterwards, so...
Your penis is, unfortunately, just slightly shorter than what I'd like it to be for inclusion in this cricket team.
We're coming 14th at the moment, and finals unrealistic proposition, but...
It's not an attractive piece, you know? Even though it's a bit short, it just kind of...
And that's what Trevor Hines would like to go through.
How many times would... Maybe that's why they liked him so much.
Mate, Clark Cadditch, I just solved it. Unfortunately, not an aesthetic penis.
He'd have... Like, Hones, it'd be great to interview him and try and get under the hood.
Under the hood.
Not an aesthetic penis. Get under the hood of what he's, like... of what made him such a great and, like sustained selector. Like, maybe he had tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks.
He had some tricks to... stay on side or be respected.
It's Game of Thrones. It really is. As a selector, I would imagine. All right. There's so many other things to talk about. Shane Warne's got COVID. The 100's been going on. Mark Boucher's been accused of racism.
But Nick Maddison's about to come over. Let's do our reads with him as a...
Are you going to do it with him?
Yeah.
Yeah,
As a
warm-up?
As a gift.
Okay, well, we're just going to take five here and then, right, well, actually, there won't be 5 minutes of silence in the show. Let's be clear about that. Unless you know, we could try that as a technique.
Mm. Dead air.
Tips and tricks.
Who knew how much people loved it?
I can just see Trevor Owens going to the speaking circuit.
Yeah.
Tips and tricks with Cracker.
You have to put two and two together, really. Like, if, as you suggest, selections are ultimately down to penis size, and he's been a selector for 16 years, then put two and two together.
Well,
you know, he...
has a piece on it.
Say no more. That's the title of the show now, isn't it?
Here's Nick Maddison.
NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that you can stay close to your team even if you don't live in their town. Like, maybe you're a Raven who married a Seahawk who got a job in the land of the Falcons. With NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your team's out-of-market Sunday afternoon games no matter where you live, because you shouldn't have to change teams even if you change towns. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto-renews.
Your job in 6 for 9. Cock him out. That's Ben Stokes' old club, isn't it? Cockermouth Cricket Club. You Jarden, 6 for 9. 6 for 9. 6 for 9. And Cockermouth. You Jarden.
Nice, Gary!
Well, here goes. As ever, none of this is possible without our dear friends, and they're always dear friends. And there's a reason I'm saying the word dear.
Why is
that? And I'll let you know.
Please.
But those dear friends are those beautiful men and women from Budgie Smuggler. Many of them are very beautiful, actually, if you follow them on Instagram. That's cool. Budgie Smuggler, where if you use the code CHAMP at checkout, you're going to get free custom design
free
on
custom
your custom
design.
Budgies, your custom apparel, all of that sort of gear. Now, every week, as the listener knows, and it is one listener, and it's my mum.
Yeah.
They know that we like to make a suggestion of what that design might be.
Yep.
Now, this week, we've been talking about stereotypes, English stereotypical wickets. Right. Now, stereotypes are a fraught issue.
Yeah.
He goes.
Yeah, let's
you don't
be
want
very
to delve
careful.
Too. Yeah, let's be, and you especially.
Right,
let's
okay.
Be very careful.
Yeah, okay.
But I figured, why don't we just sort of, you know, whet the appetite, get the ball rolling on a couple of stereotypes.
Let's
now,
quit
when I type English stereotypes or British stereotypes into the internet.
Right. British bulldog stuff, bit of Churchill.
I said politeness, humour,
right.
Tea, lack of emotion. Now, I'm not sure how you, I don't know how you design lack of emotion.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's really helpful to be pushing that stereotype. I'm just a conduit between the internet
right.
and the listener.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Whether, oh, that's not teeth. That's no good.
Come on.
Well, exactly. I'm just, again, I'm
a conduit. I played cricket with a guy who I nicknamed Teeth because I was 15. Yeah, yeah. Do you know why?
Why?
He was a good off spinner.
Yeah, because I'm an Australian with no creativity.
No.
You were telling me another story today.
Well, what?
Sorry, I actually can't say that on air. He had teeth.
Oh, yeah. So I played. Who are we talking about? That came up. Yeah. I was talking about a guy who
had
Daryl Barrel. Oh, we're talking about Zach Stubbley Cook.
Yeah, Stubblety.
Stubblety Cook. Zach Stubblety Cook.
Yes.
Now, there is Gentry.
Mm.
That's private school right there.
That's England.
That's
got an English link.
Well, he's got golds. So that's Australian. I played cricket with a guy who had a double-barreled surname. And I was, it was like one of my first games in fifth grade. And this guy was like 3 years younger than me. And I was like 17 or 18. So he was 14, 15. And everyone just called him Two Dads. Two Dads.
Like he's got a hyphenated name because they've kept both names.
That's right.
So let's make fun of him for potentially and probably not really having
not
two
even.
Dads.
Yeah. That was the elementary nature of that, yeah.
Nice.
So stereotypes can be good.
If you've got a double-barreled last name.
Hey, let us know.
Put it on your design. Own it. Times
have
changed.
Okay.
There are Australian stereotypes as well, just to you know, even things up.
Mm-hmm.
What am I looking at? I mean, look at this. I'm just a conjurer on the internet. Shrimp on the Barbie, not a thing. The entire continent is a desert.
Have you ever put shrimp on the Barbie or ever?
Or prawns.
Yeah, ever said the word shrimp?
I've never said the word shrimp in the context of eating prawns.
Yeah. What are you there? Oh, shrimp.
Some shrimp.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Zach Stubblety Cook.
Anyway, you can do all that at budgiesmuggler.com. And finally.
Yeah.
Oh, look who's joined us here, actually. Nick Madison. G'day, Nick. Nick, sit down. Thanks.
Right, what
sorry, that you're going to have to go through this.
Right.
But just quickly, our dear friends at Manscaped as well. Are they dear friends? Yeah, suppose so.
Yeah.
Here goes some new copy. They're unleashing the Performance Package 4.0. Nick, apologies for this. But exciting news, our friends at Manscaped just launched their fourth generation Performance Package.
Finally.
This ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0.
Yeah.
The leaders in male grooming have done it again to take your grooming game next level. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new Performance Package 4.0 by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code TGC. Here goes, you've got a 3.0.
Yeah, mate, and how I found out about this, one of my mates messaged me the other, like literally this week, and he's like, he was texting me, but he sounded like this. He goes, what the lawnmower you got over there?
Okay.
And I said, oh, the three. He's like, well, is it the 4.0? I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean 4.0?
I've got a Victor lawnmower, brother.
I have an apartment, but I don't have any lawn, except for my pubic region.
But not anymore.
Well, not anymore, thanks to the lawnmower. I can't talk like that. Mm. Anyway, yeah, he was one who broke to me, not the wonderful people at Manscaped, he was one who broke to me that there's a 4.0.
Yeah. It's a fourth generation trimmer, mate. You see?
Glad you came. It's called the lawnmower. Interesting name for that part of the.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point because do you want the image of a lawnmower going over your balls? Don't Nick know. Maddinson?
Nah, I wouldn't.
No.
Because I still think about
what do you reckon? You
especially. Yeah. What are you?
You're sitting here with no pants on for a start. Yeah. No, when I think about a lawnmower, like a Victor lawnmower, which is a rival brand to the
to the Manscaped lawnmower 4.0.
But when I think
sometimes when my Victor lawnmower is not working out in the backyard, I just get the Manscaped. It's a very long job.
Worth it. It's the reward at the end.
There's an LED light.
That's
right. When I want to do it at night on my own. Tori, my wife comes out 3 a.m. Why are you mowing the lawn with your Manscaped? I've got this LED.
What are you doing with that spray? You're just moistening the lawn. What are you wiping the lawn for? Now when I
7,000 RPM motor.
When I think about a lawnmower, I think about my dad being showing me the bottom of a lawnmower and saying don't ever put your hand into the blades.
Oh, that's a great lesson.
Yeah.
Fuck, I should say that to my children.
Yeah.
Don't ever put your hand in that. You sort of presume it, but
you would think it. But then it's a bit don't touch that first thing you do. Definitely touching that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Don't look at the sun.
Restrictive language.
First thing I'm gonna do, have a look at that. Have a big old look. Have a look here, boys.
I actually have memories
now
of my dad mowing the lawn.
Right.
Back in Ryde in Sydney.
Why does
this
feel like a euphemism now? We've turned this into
Well, I mean, that's what the Manscaped is, isn't it? They use lawnmower. I guess
idea. Sure.
But his shirt was off.
Right. Oh, yeah. Glistening.
Hairy.
Oh, hairy. Right. Surprising.
Yeah. And that gave me, it gave me a feeling of safety.
Sure.
Though, I wonder if today, if he was mowing the lawn, it's whether the he'd go over his chest with a Manscaped lawnmower 4.0. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system.
Yeah.
Nose and ear hair trim. Listen, if you get the Manscaped 4.0, you're going to get all this other shit with it as well for your nose and your ears. You're going to get some boxes. But the main thing is you're going to be able to shave your pubic hair region, as I've mentioned many, many times on the show before, in a very comfortable way. You can do it in the shower and it will all be gone. And you don't have to worry about any weird, scissors, trimming or anything. Nick, I'm not going to ask you for the endorsement because you're not actually part of this or getting any money from this.
Well, no nicks or cuts.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's got proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Yeah.
And there's other gifts as well. So, anyway, look, you get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TGC at manscaped.com.
Hey, people are using them.
Yep.
People are using them.
And if you can't afford an actual lawnmower, I'm sure it does chop grass. Lawn as well.
Yeah.
If you got a smaller.
That's to be confirmed.
Lawns are getting smaller and smaller, and that's one of the problems with Australian cricket, which we've said for a long time.
I've always said that.
Yeah. We'll talk to Nick about that later. But yeah, your balls have been through enough this past year. Treat them with the best tools for the job from Manscaped. Use code TGC for 20% off.
Why is it when we do this every second week with Manscaped and it feels just normal, but then when there's another human in the room doing that, this is the most absurd thing anyone's ever said? Mm. Yeah. So sorry.
I wasn't sure when to interject
in. No, and yeah.
I was like, what can I add to this?
Yeah. Sorry for putting you
Do you think that was a good sell for that product?
Great sell.
Yeah. Great sell.
I want one now.
You want,
I want the 4.0.
Exactly. You're not getting any cut of this, all right?
All right, let's do the thing now.
Hey, let's do the thing. So we're very pleased, genuinely, to be joined by this man who you know who it is. It's Nick Manderson, but he is one of the most talented batsmen in the country, has been for a very long time. He's a Test cricketer. He's currently with Victoria. He was brought up in Sydney Test cricket, though, when Sydney Test cricket, aka grade cricket, was good, when it was a thing. He joins us today in studio. He's a friend of the show. Maddo, welcome to the Grade Cricketer and welcome to TGC Towers as well, being here in person with us.
No, thanks for having me. It's great. Also, the starting off with the manscaping, it's probably a good intro as well. But yeah, very happy to be here and get stuck into it.
Most of our questions will be penis based today. Most of them.
We've been talking about that quite a lot before you came in as well, just around selections and stuff. So anyway, let's get right into it. You've moved from Sydney to Melbourne. There's nothing the nation loves more, especially those along the East Coast, than just a straight-up Sydney versus Melbourne comparison.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, people love it. They can't get over it. So you know, outline your bona fides, like take a choice, which is better and why? Because we're three Sydney-siders by birth, now here residing in Melbourne. So this is a controversial point.
It is. I'm going to say Melbourne at the moment. I haven't had a lot to do with Melbourne.
Yeah, financially.
Yeah, so make sure Graffy's listening to this.
Yeah.
extra couple of years. But I love Melbourne. I never really spent much time here apart from playing the odd Shield game or something. But as soon as I moved here, I felt it was pretty warming place to be. People are really nice. And just the environment in terms of cricket as well suited my lifestyle and suited where I was at. And I reckon at the moment I'm pretty keen to stay in Melbourne as long as I can.
You played for Sutherland.
Yep.
Easts. St Kilda. Have I missed anyone there?
Those
three. Big differences between any of those clubs or all exactly the same?
Compare and contrast Sydney grade and Melbourne Premier Melbourne cricket.
Much more footy chat.
A lot more like probably a bit more serious to be honest.
Really?
Found my first couple of sessions because I came down uncontracted, so I was relying on going to club training, and a lot of the reason I ended up at St Kilda was because of the facilities and everything we got there. And
Me too.
I found it very, very...
A bit before you, but...
Yeah. I found it very, so different, like, just in terms of, it was a bit more of a professional setup. I think as well with the footy culture, that kind of translates a bit into that environment. But I guess in... My favourite club out of three, I shouldn't probably pick sides here.
Well,
I've still played St Kilda, but I love my time at East.
Yeah.
As you know. You
why is that?
Yeah, down at Bondi.
Yeah. A lot of great friends that were playing to the... a lot of great friends at the club, and that's the reason I ended up moving there. So it was a pretty fun time. My early 20s playing in Bondi at Waverley Oval. Had a great time.
Can I just ask on the... the serious side of like Victorian grade cricket, whatever you call it. When I started playing at St Kilda, and I really don't mean to draw a comparison, but like Graham Rummins, who'd played Sydney and Melbourne grade cricket, took me inside and said, like, aside from the first training at St Kilda, and said, so what you need to realise is that everyone here in Melbourne just wants to pretend it's footy.
Yeah.
Like, and I because we're doing all this fitness and shit, and like, it was like, why are we not in the nets? Yeah. Why is everyone just running? And also, everyone's really good at running.
Yeah.
And yelling out, like, get around him and tapping each other on the bum and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
about. Grab a jumper.
Like, grab. Yeah, yeah. everyone get a touch. It's like, but I'm batting.
Yeah.
Touch of what? Is that consistent with your experience as well?
Yeah, spot on.
Mm.
Yeah. No, pretty confused.
And
exactly,
now,
exactly the same.
I remember at St Kilda, I didn't have the chat though.
I wish I'd had the chat because then I would have gone into it knowing what to expect. I didn't have that chat.
Have you got the chat now? Have you picked up like Victorian footy chat? Yeah.
Nah, I just try and avoid when the footy comes out. So I put my hand up, go see the physio for half an hour or something.
At St Kilda in 2011, when I, like 2011, 2012, like for preseason, they had themed spin classes and everyone came in their favourite footy jersey.
That's still going on.
Oh, man.
Guarantee. I got a message on the St Kilda WhatsApp, I think, last night for the session for pre-season starting in the next week with the themes for the spin classes. That's, still a thing.
What do you do? Like, do you have, like, a rugby league jersey or would you bring, like, you're a cyclist, you know, do you just wear, like, what are we looking at?
Turn up in yeast kit.
Getting the lycra. Yeah, I've got the hat, the frequently get that on the circuit.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to East hat.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might have to pull out, like, a Wallabies jersey or something like that. That was kind of the sport I grew up playing.
What if you turned up in, like, I mean, that's an opportunity for you to turn up in an Aussie kit, isn't it, really, as well?
Yeah, baggy green.
Yeah, baggy green.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
No.
Speaking of that, like, when you moved down here, you had literally played test cricket for Australia, like, a year or 2 years before or something like that. And then you come down here and you're not contracted and you're trying to, like, get a contract through grade runs, as you were just saying before. Like, fuck, that's a weird experience, man. Like, how recently you had played at the highest form of the game.
Yeah.
Like, what was that like?
It was a bit of a shock. Like, especially the way everything kind of ended. I felt like I wasn't playing that well the year following. But I always thought I was still going to be in the squad. I'd just won one day player of the year for New South Wales and thought, well, I mightn't get a chance in the Shield.
Yeah, that's right.
Anymore. But like, I was still only 27, I think, at the time. Yeah. So I thought I was just kind of hitting my prime, as they say, like late 20s. Yeah. But it was totally different. But I probably needed it as well. Like, I started when I was 18 and I feel like I'd got a lot of opportunities early that I might not have deserved through some under-19s cricket. And I did really well when I started, and then I had a few pretty average years. So coming down here was a great time for me to start fresh. And all that was a bit different. Like, it probably challenged me in another way, like having to turn up in July, August to club training in Melbourne, taking high balls in the cold and,
yeah,
you know, 9 till 11 in the indoor centre when it's freezing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
They were different challenges I probably didn't have to experience before.
Mm.
But I learned a lot from, I guess, going through that.
Because you would have been like, because, yeah, you're going right through the system in Sydney, yeah, anyway, because you played Aussie 19s and you've done, yeah, really well, and then, fuck, ODI player of the year for New South Wales and get cut that, yeah, year. Like, because in the grade circles, which is the least relevant circles of any of your career, but like,
what?
yeah, and be careful, this is the grade cricketer. But like, you were like the big dog, and then, yeah, like just moving down here, were you, like, you wouldn't have been like not recognised because you, yeah, like, played for Australia the year before, but like, was it a bit like you had to prove yourself again down here a little bit?
Yeah, I felt like that, yeah, definitely. Even a club cricket, like, I always loved playing for my club.
Mm.
I still do, but yeah, it was a totally different experience, like coming down, having to prove to a bunch of people that you don't know.
Yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah,
you actually are still serious about it and want to make a crack of it. And it was, like I said, it was probably a thing I needed at the time as well. So it's turned out well. I ended up playing for Victoria later that year. But yeah, it definitely probably changed my perspective on a few things when I first came down.
I remember we got a DM a few years ago because we interviewed you for Channel 7 maybe last summer or 2 years ago, whenever that was.
Two, yeah.
And then someone, yeah, had sent a photo of you at the ESPY,
yeah,
wearing your ace cap,
yeah, yeah,
on a circuit,
yeah, mm.
That's so one of the, yeah, best, yeah, things I've ever seen.
I actually saw that. I was going through my got a new phone recently, so you swap everything over, and yeah, yeah,
congrats. Yeah. Things are going well, obviously.
Yeah, now, so, yeah. Flicking through the photos, and I was like, wonder what's on here, and then it popped. I think Dan Christian taking a photo of us, course, together,
yeah. Yeah.
With me in the hat, and I was like, you don't find that. Now the summer's approaching again to get it back out. But
you got to be careful of him taking photos. He sends a lot through to us. Because my memory of that photo is he sent it to us on WhatsApp and he's hiding behind a tree or something. Like, you're just getting a drink at the,
yeah,
bar.
Yeah, that's what it was, I think. He tapped me.
Now, I mean, people these days like would understand you as like, I don't know if they might categorise you as a rare bloke, like as in because you have interests outside cricket.
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah,
you know, really,
that's
rare.
Yeah.
So could you maybe take us into the mindset behind, because it might explain a little bit about your character, like going to the ESPY in, yeah, the summer,
mm,
with good kid on, you know, you're an Australian test player, mm, and you're leaving your apartment or your residence,
yeah,
and you go, look, I'm going to wear my Easts cap.
Easts today.
Like, today, is it a...
Up the Dolphins.
What's behind the fact? It's obviously a fashion choice, but, like, what's the philosophy behind it? I like Easts. I miss it. I like the colours. The colours match my clothes. I'm just trying to be rare. Like, yeah, take us bit underneath the hood. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want the reaction.
I think I was, like, trying to... might have just been the process of packing up my house to move, and I came across all my new stuff, and I was like, fuck, that's a great hat. Like... like, and it's not like the traditional Australian bag. It looks like a train hat either. It's like the skull cap.
English
style cap. So
I
was like, oh, it's like a bit flatter,
a smaller brim
as
well, tighter.
Much better fit. So I whacked it on. I was like, oh, this is a great hat. Like, didn't really appreciate this at the time. Because I usually play in the wide brim.
Yep.
So I don't wear my baggy hat that much. So I was like, what a great hat. I've been neglecting this thing. And then it was sitting in the spare room, and I just said I was getting ready for the ESPY, and I think I had some navy shirt on or something. He's like, oh, two would go with this.
Who are you talking to? Yourself?
Yeah. And my missus dropped me at the ESPY. He's like, you're not actually wearing that. Like, this is a joke, aren't you? You're stitching me out. I was like, no, I'm wearing it in there.
Yeah.
So I wore it in, and I was going to just take it off as like a bit of a piss take, and then got some good feedback. So I was like, push on.
Yeah.
yeah. And that's kind of when I went. But yeah, it was a bit of trying to be rare as well, but
of course,
mixture of everything.
Any UK club cricket? Just for Surrey.
Played half a season or maybe half a quarter of a season.
Whereabouts?
At Blackheath.
Okay.
Down in, I think they're in the Kent League.
So okay.
Just kind of just out of London down that way. And then got cut short because I went to play. I think I'd pick for an Aussie A tour or something. So
I had it when that happened. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually get the full kind of club cricket English experience.
Yeah, okay.
That, you know, my brother had for a couple of years when he lived there, but a lot of people have come back raving about it.
Yeah, yeah. Because then you played, we're talking before, you played for Surrey in the Vitality Blast.
Yeah.
And then Owen Morgan has just come out like a couple of days ago saying that, like, nah, the 100's fucking just way better. He didn't say that. He said 100's already way better.
Mm, may as well.
He may as well have done. If you watch 100?
A little bit, yeah.
Enjoying it?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think he said as well that he was one of the people that kind of backed it and was little bit surprised at some of the reactions that it got from the public and actual like other cricketers. Mm. But I thought it was a great idea because at the end of the day, like, it's probably going to bring a new audience to cricket. And I'd noticed it when I, like you said, I went to Surrey that year. People, 20,000 people would come to the Oval from London. Mm. They didn't care about the cricket. They just want something to do and like an event.
Yeah.
So I think, for obviously it's a lot of it's based behind TV and getting audiences and stuff like that. But I think it's a great idea.
Mate, it's so funny because my experience of like just consuming this is all the players seem to be on board with it. All the players seem keen on it. But just, I guess it's more the media or like people in certain sectors in the public who are like, no, this is shit, but it seems to be flying already. And like, I don't know if the players are really enjoying it and they play heaps of cricket, then like this thing's got legs, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. And I think obviously it's different. It's so simple for viewers as well. If you look at the scorecard, I think it's batsman, runs and balls, bowler, runs and balls. Like that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
So I think it's simplifying it a bit for people who might be new to cricket, trying to target a new audience, I think it's pretty smart, but it looks bloody fun.
And yeah, yeah.
Players that they've had are pretty high quality international players as well. And that's with a lot of guys pulling out through not having to want to do quarantine and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty impressive.
Something like the 100, Nick, like I'm conscious last week, we talked to Nick Compton and he sort of, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he was like, look, players are going to be pretty agnostic about the 100 or whatnot because players just play. Like, they just, they sort of, it's not like, oh, they just go where they're told or whatever. But, like, if the price is right and it's going to be on TV and it's looking like the new thing, you know, players will go. Like, is that fair to say? Or, like, when, you know, among the player group, like, do you guys robustly discuss, you know, new tournaments and, like, and, the impact of the 100 on the county game, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, when you're in, when you're in the showers together. is that something, or is he sort of partially right that you, like, players will just go with whatever?
Yeah, I think he's partially right. I think people are probably a bit scared to come out and support something like that, especially in the first year as well. So you get a lot of people that probably feel like they're just going along because it's more money and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, we're paid pretty well to play a game and promote the game as well. So if it's doing all that stuff and you can make an extra living out of it and all that kind of stuff, I think it's great. But yeah, I don't think it's something that plays around going, oh no, it's going to affect the crowds at Leicester next week in the 4 day. I'm like, I don't think that discussion's really been had because it's just the way it is. So
there's no crowds there.
Yeah.
Sorry. No.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of a smart segue, but I don't have one because I'm dumb. But I just want to talk about your career, like back to your career. And just before you came, I was like researching, obviously. And I just had sort of forgotten, I suppose, in that moment when you came back and you came into the test site for the first time, there's obviously like the Hobart game, the game before where Australia got blitzed by South Africa. And then like massive changes, you got picked in, your first innings, you're facing Rabada at 8:29 PM. Yeah. He's got a brand new pill and he just bowls a in-swinging Yorker to you.
Yeah.
Like, how unfair is it that you make it, you play cricket your entire career, you make it to the top, and then that's like the tiny window you get. It's like, there you go, mate, have a go at that. And it was like when the pink ball test was probably only like 1 or 2 years old at that point.
Yeah, I think we played a little bit at state level, but not for international cricket. Might have been the second one.
Like how insane that whole moment was where like Australian cricket in that moment was in turmoil, as we are every like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
It's like a cycle. It's like an Olympic cycle. And then, but then you have to face Rabada with a new pill, a new pink ball at 8:30 at night. It's like how do you reflect on that?
Yeah, probably a good one. Like reflecting seems a pretty big deal. At the time, I was like, oh, that's just what it is. Like, I didn't think there's anything wrong with it. I never felt like I was harshly done by it because I was like, well, that's just it. Like, that's what you got to do. And I felt pretty lucky to be even there because I'd missed, I think I played 1 4-dayer that year because I'd had a concussion. I came back, got 100, and then that was when they picked the team after a bad loss. So I kind of felt like I was always pretty lucky in a sense to be there. But yeah, reflecting on it, I'm like, God, I wouldn't mind going out there in the afternoon or the next morning or something.
When
the ball's a bit older. But that's just the way it is. And like, it's, everyone says they've learned from those experiences. And it probably took me a little while to work out what I actually learned. But it probably just made me realize that I had a bit of work to do and to come back and how hard international cricket is. Because I think when I grew up as a kid wanting to play it, and when you come through the pathway, like I said, I was pretty lucky. I got through the pathway into state cricket fairly young. You're just like, oh, it's going to work out.
Yeah.
I'll play for Australia. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then to get there, and I was like, I'm a bit off the pace here. It was a bit of a wake up call as well. But it wasn't until, a couple of years later, we kind of looked back and like, that was actually pretty tough.
That's amazing, man. Because I know you played Pakistan and you played two tests and then after the MCG, then you got dropped. And then you had like a lean, like big bash season, and then you took like some time away.
Yeah.
Was that like, well, I mean, you tell me, but was it a bit like, I've reached the top, this is fucking really hard, and now I've got to go back to still figuring out what my game is and like a prime time big bash audience and still not doing that well. And now it's like, what's cricket actually in my life?
Yeah, it probably started a bit before, to be honest. Okay. I haven't spoken about it too much, but like going through the summer and everything, like there's different times when you like playing more than others.
Yeah, yeah.
I think leading up to that was one of them, and you're still there like 99%.
Yeah.
Like that extra little 1% that you're not there is the part that eats away at you over time. Yeah. And I think, like you said, I actually wasn't too worried about that. The first two tests, they were both pink ball.
Yeah.
I was annoyed. I got to the MCG batting on day two or three against Pakistan. I got 25, faced 70 balls, and then I played a pretty shit shot and got out. Mm. And that was the one to me where I was like, that's probably my chance. Like the stuff before it didn't really bother me. I was like, you know, cop it under lights with a new ball. That's just the way it is. Mm. But that was the one that hurt the most.
Mm.
And then I went back and I thought, oh, this is great. I need Big Bash to freshen up. And I didn't perform well either. And then I was still kind of carrying some of the emotional baggage probably from the test stuff.
Mm.
And then it got to state cricket and we flew to Melbourne. I was batting the nets the day before and I was like, I didn't tell anyone. I just walked out, walked back to the hotel. I remember I called the coach and Moses and like, oh, I think I need the game off. And it kind of just went from there and ended up taking about a month off.
Mm.
It came back towards the end of that Shield season and that was kind of how it ended. But yeah, it was a tricky one. But yeah, I think it needed to probably take the time off to process it all.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And you just mentioned before, and maybe you have explained it, but it sounds like you've done so much reflecting on that time now, and you did some reflecting at the time, and then it sounds like a few years later you did even more. So, like, you know, what did you learn about that time and sort of where are you at with your cricket now and your approach to cricket with everything that you've been through?
Yeah. I guess what changed, I probably changed a little bit about how I wanted to play because I felt like I'd just go out there, like, it's all calculated and you have all the other stuff you worry about. But a lot of the time I needed great situations to do well in. Like I needed, like if I did well, a lot of the time it was in my favor. Mm. So I tried to kind of formulate my game a little bit where I could, it mightn't be scoring 100 every week, but like contributing a bit more when the conditions don't suit. And just little things like that that I tinkered with. And it's probably a bit of a mindset thing. But yeah, it probably just made me realize that I wasn't good enough for international cricket. And I was like, well, I better train a different way, better have a different approach. And that was kind of, like you said, it happened pretty quick, but then I'm off contract and I'm in Melbourne. And I guess throughout that experience, it probably taught me a few things about, you know, having to work it out for yourself a bit. I got the ability to train on my own, which might sound difficult, but I got to do everything I wanted to do. I didn't have a system. I wasn't involved in a state setup for a few months in between kind of the end of that year and coming to Victoria. So I could train however I wanted. I could do what I wanted. And it kind of made me realize how important the off-field side of things are as well. And making sure you're connecting with your family and friends and having that network really strong, which at the time when you're young and you start playing, to be honest, you kind of, that takes a bit of a backseat where now I think it's the other way to me. I prioritize that stuff and I'm that person who plays cricket, where before it was so invested in cricket that I probably forgot about some other things.
Hey, there was a, on that note, like there was a really interesting piece the other day in The Guardian by English writer Barney Ronne about, and it was in response to the episode with Simone Biles recently in the Olympics. I don't know if you caught it, where she just was like, no, I'm not participating. And he was talking about the like 24-hour rolling hell of big sport. And he used the example of Simone Biles and then Naomi Osaka, just like, you know, just saying that the pressure on sports people is growing and growing and growing. It's also happening in a COVID environment, but you know, through social media, people are we just expect more of athletes, and we just we want so much, and we have better access to them, so we give it to them all the time. You know, a day or two ago, Ben Stokes pulled out of the England India series because of mental health issues and also his finger. You know, I can only presume you have a much more heightened and a better understanding of what people like that have gone through.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the time it's not just like when you use the Simone Biles thing, like pulling out Olympics, everyone's like, what are you doing? But like there's so much that goes into it. So it could have been, she might have been toughing this out for 2 years, and just the pressure of that moment is what cracked. So a lot of the time it's stuff that's going on well before that time happens. And I think people are more open to it now. Like you said, it is with social media, it's more accessible to message players and have a crack at players and athletes and stuff like that. So I think learning how to deal with that, but then obviously people feel more comfortable in prioritizing, and you know, it might just mean that Ben Stokes wants some time off. Like he mightn't actually be struggling with anything. It might just mean he wants the time off, and that's okay as well. So it's actually great to see people prioritizing themselves as a person before just thinking, because like honestly, you do tough it out. There's times where you don't always get the way you want, but I definitely think it's great to see people willing to put themselves first, and to the detriment of it might be their career, but in the end of the day, they'll come back in a month and we'll forget they've even had the time off, and they'll prolong their career.
So. It's amazing. I reckon you must have been one of the first people, and cricketers anyway in Australia, to sort of speak about this. Because then, since then, we've seen like Moses spoke very well about this. Glenn Maxwell's taken some time off. Ben Stokes, obviously, as well. And it seems to me that like the players and like people who kind of who are in it and they get it are very like sympathetic and they understand. And then it's like, you know, for fuckwits like me on Twitter, just being like, just fucking get on with it, Matto. You know,
you're never like that. No.
But that's how I sound on the internet.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it must be a weird thing where like almost in the environment that you need to break out of a little bit, that's actually the support network. And then when the rest of society kind of chips in, when they have no idea what's going on, they almost like don't have a right to have a pop because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and everyone's story is different. Like,
sure,
I think within the same couple of weeks, even when I was Victoria, I took some time off.
Right.
Myself, Maxwell and Wolf Bukowski all missed a month or more of cricket at the same time. But they were completely different.
Like,
I don't think people probably have to understand that just taking time off or prioritizing your mental health doesn't mean you're depressed, or it doesn't mean there's so many things that go into having good mental health. And when you add sport into the equation and professional sport, it's just another layer of something that you've got to deal with. I definitely feel like it's heading in a way where, you know, you do tough it out at times, that's fine.
Yeah,
but I feel like people now, especially within cricket, are educated enough to know and see the signs that they might need to seek some help and are willing to take the time off with. So I think that's great.
You were mentioning, you were talking about things being better in cricket now in relation to that kind of stuff. And then, so you won't say this, but I will, but like, surely there are still blokes in cricket, like in and around the system and in environments and stuff that like, and I don't mean this in relation to mental health necessarily or anything like that, but like, there's still some pretty basic blokes in there, surely, who are like, like you just might sort of not be strong on the emotional intelligence front or whatever, or who do want you just to tough it out. And I'm not, again, not just in mental health, but in, like in any situation, like, is that right? Yeah. Or is everybody in like state systems and international systems now super enlightened? Cause I tell you what, like one of the worst things to happen to sport, I reckon, are these fucking sports documentaries where like now we can look into like the Australian cricket team or the West Tigers and be like, shit, this is all third grade. Is that, are things great at Victoria and New South Last career?
you still have that for sure. I knew that was going as soon as you
so I couldn't look at you.
There's still an element of that for sure.
It's funny those documentaries like Spurs, for instance, and it's still like, all the money in football and stuff, and it's still just, come on boys, let's work hard.
Mate, it's like Jose Mourinho,
put one in early.
Absolute genius. He's up there going, you've got to be a cunt. It's like, mate, that's what my fifth grade captain Andrew Hoppett used to say to me. Work hard, respect the game.
It's really interesting, Matto, you're saying
love
before,
your hobby.
But he does listen. About
he's
like
quite well in mining, actually.
Shut the fuck up. He's doing quite well in mining, is he? Sponsor the show. About how like you sort of come through the system, and you just sort of figure that, oh yeah, I'll play for Australia, and like because you played in the IPL for a couple of years with like with RCB, and you're like opening batting with Kohli, and was AB de Villiers there at the same time?
Yeah.
Nah, that's unbelievable. Like you and Kohli like walking out to bat in the IPL. This is 2 years. You already played for Australia. You played white ball cricket for Australia.
T20, one T20. One off.
In India, right?
Yeah,
in India,
rogue. Like it was in like Gujarat, so it wasn't even easy to get to.
Okay.
So we were like in Mumbai for a week, and then you go out, play the T20. I was like, oh, they must be like, what's going on here? It's like, oh yeah, see you later. All of a sudden, that was it. I didn't like just one off and didn't play again for probably 5 years. So
yeah,
But yeah, IPL probably helped me that. I think I
was what do you mean?
Pretty quick 30 that game.
Oh, yeah,
against
right.
India, and I was like, oh, I went to the IPL the next year.
Yeah. That's all it takes.
Yeah,
that's 130 against 130. India.
Yeah.
So hang on. You hit 30 for Australia against India in a T20 yep. match, and the Aussies sack you off, and the IPL picks you up to bat with Kohli.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So who was right and who's wrong?
Yeah. Because when you played against India, like Dhoni was only captain. I looked at the scorecard.
I think he was then, yeah.
Virat.
Yeah.
What do you and Virat talk about when you go to the crease, open the batting for RCB?
I was down there for a long time. I only played a couple of games. I think one of them went four and he hit me in the ass. So I didn't like actually got a duck. So nothing much. Like to be honest, he was like pretty chilled out about it.
Was he the big dog then already?
Yeah, he was. He was captain of the franchise then.
Okay.
And big dog. Like I think it's different as well when it's him as opposed to like which is a lovely guy and always approachable. But to me I was so daunted at him because in India, like the most important person, yet someone like AB de Villiers, South African, pretty similar culture to what we have in Australia, was easy for me. I felt more comfortable going and asking a question about batting than I would Kohli. So, but it was a great experience and I wish I was there longer. I wish I was still there.
Yeah, sure. So.
Did they have Mr. Nags then?
Yeah, first year of that, I reckon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made me feel a bit uncomfortable at times.
Are we talking to Matt about our rival character?
Well, we've it's not a rival character. We've had a running with RCB a few months ago.
Yep.
No fault of our own, I'd imagine. It was just an interview with Dan and Kyle Jamieson, and was just asked to be removed. But it's been suggested that perhaps the IPL requires a rival character called Mr. Bags.
It's just been suggested.
It's been suggested
by us.
Once again, a conduit from my own brain. That was your brain, actually.
That's right. Yeah. Don't steal my jokes. All right, should we get a bit of Ask TGC?
Would you stick around for Ask TGC?
Yeah,
I've got questions from the audience. Yeah.
All right, well, I'll kick off. David O'Halloran.
Boys!
I've been a member of my local cricket club in Dublin since I was 7, and for some reason I'm still playing almost 15 years later. Sorry, I'm still thinking of Mr. Bags. Sadly, the people...
Bum bag on the front.
Sadly, the people in charge have become very aware of child safety in the past few years, and I believe this will hinder the age-old tradition of talented young teenagers getting called up to play senior cricket, thus improving their game. The cultural reforms have infected our sheds, WhatsApp groups, and even the sacred showers.
God.
First, the club decided that any player under 18 could no longer be added to an adult team's WhatsApp group. Instead, their parent/guardian is to communicate on their behalf. This has stopped the lads with top banter from exerting their alpha status on the group via videos of them training chest and pipes or of long-forgotten circuits. Sure, an elderly member of our club may have recently received a 2-year suspended prison sentence for 901 images and 146 videos of minors that he decided to indulge in, but we should still trust our 38-year-old teammate with little social life, no girlfriend, and few life prospects to responsibly welcome the new 14-year-old Quick into the team group chat with advice on how to circuit and his favourite chopping technique.
Oh my God.
And can't forget the bi-monthly videos that play porn noises on max volume. Banter. The executive has also decreed that any underage player cannot share a changing room with an adult teammate. It is yet to be enforced due to COVID-restricted matches. Yuck. But it includes tubbing, as far as I know. These poor cricketing youths will miss out on the experience of our left-arm offie urinating directly onto anyone who tries to leave the showers too quickly. There's also the possibility of having more youth than adult players for a match. This would force the adults to change outside, which is quite beta. As we have experienced already this year, a grown man standing in public in only his boxers is undoubtedly pedo. However, the same man getting bollock naked in front of a teenager is just a part of what senior cricket is all about. As you can imagine, these PC measures will damage the long-term development of younger players as they progress into adult cricket. So my question is, how can I stop these drastic changes to our club without looking like a kiddie fiddler in the process? All I want is to emotionally and verbally bully these younger than me in order to move my way up in the social hierarchy. How can I do this without the tubs or group chat, given that I'm an average cricketer who will struggle to alpha them on the field? Can I blame my dad? Love the show, lads. Cheers, Alistair.
Bit of take in there, isn't there?
That was fabulous.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, yeah, like Alistair refers to a lot of people that need to be protected in the club. I'm wondering if he's talking about himself. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know. Like, it's pretty hard to be sympathetic to what Alistair wants. Like, I mean, does anyone want to take up the position?
It's a fair bit going on in that club, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's just when it got into, like, the third or fourth paragraph about pedophiles that I was
That got worse as it went on.
Yeah. It's just like, you made your point about not wanting to look like a pedophile but engaging in...
Bit of banter.
Bit of... Just calling it banter. Like, calling it... Yeah.
I think he was being sarcastic.
I think he was being sarcastic. But, yeah, like, sort of euphemistically referring to these, like, safety measures as, like, cultural reforms to be... To be opposed. I don't know, man. I feel like I'm sort of, I'm just sort of rolling around the sides of this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matto, like,
Oh, thanks. I was hoping you were going to skip straight past that.
Sheds culture at international pro level.
Yeah.
Pissing on each other. Stuff that I saw in sort of 2004, etc.
Yeah.
Is it going on still? You know, like you're getting. Yeah, it's not
no horseplay.
I think that
no horseplay. Is there any macho horseplay in the nude happening for Victoria?
Nah, not macho anymore. It's a
it's horseplay.
Yeah, a few blokes having some fun. Like think they'd like to show everyone what they got. But yeah, apart from that, like I think that stuff would probably go. I came through grade crew, I think 2008-09, and kind of probably got a bit of the hazing side of it. But nothing. Like we're getting into
that.
At Sutherland, you had to like play a song on a guitar, didn't you? That might have been after
first
your
grade
time.
Debut.
No, for first grade debut, you had to get up and sing a song.
Yeah.
I think that started with a stitch up to Steve Smith.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it went on from there.
Yeah.
So I did that, and now it's
what was your song?
I sang "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star."
Okay, yeah,
banger.
Only because at short notice, at 16, I didn't really have many.
Yeah,
16. Many tucked away. So
yeah.
Weren't me songs I knew the full lyrics to.
It's probably better than what the hazing ritual would have been 20 years ago at, at age 16.
Yeah, exactly.
Although that was a good Sutherland side.
Yeah.
McGrath and that sort of stuff.
Stewie Clark.
Stewie Clark, yeah, McGiller.
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon just accept the changes, David, because there's a bit going on about four.
That was too much going on.
Yeah.
That was too much going on.
You included this question just to let him know. That's too much, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next one?
Let's make this last one.
Okay. Finn Serene?
Yeah.
Is it? Via Patreon. Boys, I'd like to discuss the topic of tubbing.
Right.
And a myth called the Phantom Dick Whacker, which I'll get to later. I bring this to your attention in light of our very own Olympic basketball star, Aaron Baines, having to withdraw from the squad today with a neck injury acquired in the team's showers. I can't be alone in applying a grade cricketer lens to this and wonder what the fuck is going on there. Being only 21, I consider myself too young to have experienced tubbing to the level that existed in the early 2000s, and is often referenced on the pod. I do, however, partake infrequently after a good win with the boys and a beer. 21-year-old says, I partake infrequently.
Yeah.
However, it seems most of the younger boys usually decline unless they're at least tipsy first. I often wonder as to whether the young men of today are too scared to tub due to the body shaming and general toxic culture of cricket clubs. As a young man in the late 90s and early 2000s, my dad used to work in coal mines as an electrician. He often regaled tales of mysterious unknown individual known as the Phantom Dick Whacker, who sounds like the resident super pig of the job site, in my opinion. It is said the Phantom Dick Whacker used to strike in the tubs at the mine site whilst people were rubbing soap on their face and thus had their eyes closed. As such, it is alleged no one knows who this individual's identity was. However, my dad always smiles and says he believes he knew who it was, but refuses to tell me who, which makes me think it was him, especially as he doesn't work there anymore, and I wouldn't know any of his former colleagues' names as I was too young. I have challenged him on this, and he has always denied it, but he sounds fucking guilty to me. The question is, who the fuck is the Phantom Dick Whacker? Is it my dad? And does this make him the alpha or the beta of the story? Clearly, there are some fucking levels to this mysterious man. Also, why the fuck do men feel the need to get up to all sorts of mischief whilst nude with other men? Cheers, boys. Finn.
Great question, Finn. Almost definitely was his dad.
Yeah.
That's definitely his dad. And he's using that as social capital with his son that he used to go to some hijinks. And I don't know if that's the right element to bond with your son with.
Mm.
I don't know.
ever come across any phantom dick whackers?
No. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be careful washing my face with soap in the shower. <from that one. laughs>
That's like the thing where you, if you, like, the first time you're, like, home alone. We were talking about this the other day. Like, the first time you're, like, home alone when you're, like, 12, 13, 10, whatever you are, and you're just convinced that you're about to be murdered, even though no one has any motive necessarily.
Yeah.
But or then, like, knows that you're home alone.
Exactly. But then if you, like, shower, and, like, that's the moment when, like, a serial killer would attack, when you've got your eyes closed in that moment. Definitely a fear. But then there's guys just going, this guy's in a, he's not even playing cricket, he's in a fucking mine. He's working at a mine site and he's showering with everyone else.
They have a shower. They have a tub, boys. They're dirty. You get dirty in the mines.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been near one in my life. But I wonder about the psychology of becoming a phantom dick whacker. Like, you, at some point, your brain goes, like, you know what would be funny?
Yeah.
When blokes are washing their face and their eyes with soap and they can't see me, I'm going to go up to them and slap them with my penis because that would be funny.
Wait.
Have I got this wrong?
Now, you're saying this guy's using his own dick to slap on other people as opposed to whacking someone else's dick. That's what I had down.
Oh, okay. Is that what you had as well?
I was with you.
Oh, yeah, getting your penis.
I thought he was using his own.
No, I thought he was walking up to people and just giving someone a...
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Like a sack whack.
Sack whack, yeah.
Yeah, the sack whack. A sack whack. Oh, right.
The classic sack whack.
Well, Finn will have to clarify, but just ask your dad. Were you whacking them with your dick?
Yeah, send him up in a trap. Hey, Dad, you know the phantom dick whacker? And then, like, send him down one of those paths and be like, oh, no, no, what the phantom dick whacker did was, and then thus revealing his secrets.
Because if you are whacking someone with your own penis, is not the idea...
If you are.
Yeah, if indeed
if
you are.
Yes.
You're essentially, it's like doing an RTGC where you're telling a story, but really you just want people to know your own results.
That's right.
You're essentially saying my penis is long enough that I can actually, like, gain leverage off my own penis.
You get some whip on it.
I can get some whippage onto somebody's thigh or glute.
What's
or
this,
whatever.
2.9?
Yeah.
Feels like 2.10.
All that sort of stuff. There was a guy at our club who just, literally his penis was the main thing in his life.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say about that.
That was his identity.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. The tubs. They've changed though, haven't they?
Oh, they've changed.
Do you guys have cubicles now?
We do, Junction?
Yeah.
They have cubicles, so.
Yeah. They brought that in the UK. Every, like, new, it might be in Australia as well, any, like, new toilet block site with a shower, they have to have individual cubicles. Yeah. Which is probably for the best, especially considering that first question.
Did you feel pressure when cubicles came in to go, like, oh, damn, cubicles, now we can't piss on each other?
was that what's going around the WhatsApp?
But privately, you were like, thank fuck, I can have a shower in peace.
Yeah. I don't know. I grew up, I was 16. I was getting told I had to shower and stuff like that. But there was no pressure. Like, didn't have to. But I guess it makes it no more that shit going on, is there?
So but you're about to play Aussie 19, so you probably had a bit more leverage. Because if you were sort of like twos, threes, then you'd be like, got to get myself in the team somehow.
I don't think I tubbed much my first couple of years. I was too scared.
Yeah.
Had a 21st to go to, that sort of thing.
Nah, I've got to go. Yeah. Got to leave the skins on just to recovery on the car trip home.
Well, sorry for subjecting you to the last 3 minutes.
Nah, that's all right.
But thank you very much for coming in. Nah, really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Sam Perry.
Thanks
for joining me on my show.
Indeed.
And thank you out there to the listeners on the internet. See you guys next week.